What is the work of creation? The work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good.
So we are moving on in our study of the Shorter Catechism. We've come to question number 9, the work of creation. We've talked about the fact that God has executed his decrees in 2 primary ways, creation and providence. And we've noted that these works are a display of God's own glory. So when we eventually get to the question that deals with God's name, the taking of God's name in vain in the 3rd commandment, we'll learn there that the Lord reveals himself in a lot of ways. So his name refers to the ways in which he reveals himself. And that would include not only his titles, but it would include things like his word and his attributes and his works. And one of those works is the work of creation. So we're interested in seeing the disclosure, the opening up, the revealing of who God is in the work of creation. And there are, in these short words, which you've already heard, in question 9, really 5 distinct doctrines that are laid out. The first one is that God is the one who made all things. So God made all things. This seems simple enough, straightforward enough. But it includes a few things that I think are important for us. If God made all things, and the emphasis here is on the word all, then it means that God himself is unmade. He is the unmade maker, the uncreated creator. So the opening words of the Bible, in the beginning, God. God is the one who was present. And when we say God, we're referring to the triune God of the Bible. So all 3 persons of the Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. So the Lord is the one who brings to pass all of these works. All things includes what we see and what we don't see. So, for example, it would include the angels. We see references to the angels, children, in the Bible, but where do they come into the story? Well, they come into the story at the beginning as well. There's good reason to believe that they were made when the heavens were made. And there are places, for example, in Job that seem to indicate this. So they were brought into being as the inhabitants of the heavens that the Lord created. And you'll remember that there were angels, all created perfect and holy, and some were elect, some were not. So some remained holy, and some became fallen angels. But they're all created at the beginning. So the whole cosmos, everything within space and time that has come into existence outside of God himself was brought to pass by the Lord. The next thing that we see is that all of these things were created, we're told, out of nothing. Created out of nothing. And there's a familiar Latin phrase that captures this, that children would be good to learn. Ex nihilo. Ex nihilo. Out of nothing. So that means that prior to the creation, prior to the work of creation, God's work of creation, there was no space and no time. So no space and no time. Space itself, and I don't just mean outer space, I mean everything that falls within the physical world of space. That didn't exist, nor did time itself exist. So it's very difficult for us as creatures who are, you know, so intricately connected to space and time to think in categories outside of these. But this is what the Lord teaches us. There was no space and no time. That means, for example, that the idea today that the universe is eternal needs to be contradicted. There is no eternal matter. And we also need to make the point that Nothingness cannot bring into existence everything. So nothing can turn itself into everything. Right? There had to be an agent. There had to be someone who was bringing this into existence, and that, of course, is God himself. The idea of the eternal past is actually irrational, because if we're always going into the past, and that line continues infinitely forever, then there could be no present, right? You have to have a starting place in order to move forward to where we are at the present. So everything was created out of nothing. The next thing that we see is that it was all created by the word of God's power. It was the word of God's power that brought these things into existence. This is, I think, helpful for us. We speak about creating things. We'll create a building, we'll create a piece of art. We're really recreating, aren't we? We're taking something that already exists and then reshaping it into something else. Whereas God created everything from nothing by the word of his power. God spoke the universe, the cosmos, into existence. So it's revealing to us, as Paul makes clear in Romans 1, the created world, the created order, reveals to us the power of God. It shows us how invincible, how powerful he is. And that's an encouragement to us, because God is able to do everything that he's promised to do. So whatever he's spoken brings power with it. He's able to accomplish those things for his own glory. The next thing that we see is that he brought this into existence in the space of 6 days. In the space of 6 days. So there is the whole cosmos was brought into its being in the space of 6 days. So there's a lot of debate today about the time period in which God created things. We need to recognize that these kinds of questions with regards to origins, how things began, are not in the first case scientific questions. They're philosophical and theological questions. Science does empirical study, observation on the things of this world, and no one was present to observe or experiment on what was taking place at creation except for God himself. And God, the only witness, has told us exactly how this has come to pass. And let me just list very, very quickly some arguments for the biblical basis for the doctrine that God created the world in the space of 6 days. The word day in the Hebrew is qualified by evening and morning. So there are words that limit the time frame. It was evening and morning that defined a day, a normal day. We also see that the word day is used on the fourth day to refer to a period governed by the sun in verse 14 of chapter 1. We also recognize that the word yom, the word for day, every time it has a numerical adjective, first, second, third, fourth, so on, it always refers in the scriptures to a literal day. We can also say that every time it's used in the plural, which is like something like 700 times, it always refers to a literal day. In addition, we have Exodus 20, verse 11, where the Lord is giving to us the fourth commandment, and we see there that man's work week is patterned after God's work week. Just as God worked 6 days and rested on the seventh, so we're to work 6 days and rest after, on the seventh. You see the parallel there, reinforcing the fact this is a normal day and a normal week, just as man's work week is patterned after God's. Lastly, there are, if someone wants to say, well, it refers to an age rather than the day, there's actually a Hebrew word for that, olam, which would refer to a whole age, and that's not what's used. It's the word day that's used. So the fourth thing that we see is that it's made in the space of 6 days. Fifthly, it is made all very good. It was created good in the beginning. So creation itself as a work of God should be viewed as good. Matter itself is not inherently evil, right? There are evil things that we do with the created world, but the created world isn't evil in and of itself. And this of course makes the Christian able to appreciate the things that God has created in this world in ways that the unbeliever can't. We view everything as the byproduct of God's own word, something that God has put into existence for his own glory. So whether it be the lilies in the field, as Jesus refers to them, or the trees which clap their hands in praise to God, the mountains, the seas, the stars themselves, these all serve as a means of pointing us to the glory of God. And so a Christian who becomes a scientist has a different way of looking at their work. They're actually studying not just, you know, something inside of the human cell, or not just studying, you know, what Mars is comprised of, but they're studying the works of God's hands. They're looking at what God himself has brought into existence. And so it ends up leading them to the place where they're able to enjoy and benefit and praise God for all that he has done. The Christian generally is able to appreciate the good gifts that God's given. And it has practical implications for us, because we recognize the things of this world as gifts. But it would be very easy to take those gifts and to turn them, as it were, into idols. But instead, the Christian looks at water and good food and sunshine and so on, and those gifts are a springboard to direct our minds and hearts to the giver. Or the blessings that we receive turn our hearts and minds to the benefactor, so that everything we have contact with is like a little signpost pointing us to the Lord himself in order to find our satisfaction, our delight in him. So Paul warns about those who take the created things and turn them into idols while denying the creature. Right? It would be easy for anyone to slip into that mode, whereas instead the Christian does not see creation as an end in itself, but rather as a thing that reveals God and teaches us to love and obey him. So you'll have Christian scientists of the past, people like Isaac Newton, for example, who before his death described his monumental work that he had done in his lifetime. And he said, basically, I have been like a boy playing at the seashore, diverting himself with a smooth pebble or a pretty shell, while a great ocean of truth lay all undiscovered before me. So he, you know, many in his own day would have thought of him as very bright, very accomplished, having great intellectual acumen, and yet he's saying, I've only scratched the surface. I've only seen a little bit. Job has the same sort of comment where he talks about these are the least things, the little things, that we've only seen part of God's ways, as it were. There is so much more to know. And the desire to know it is because of our desire to know the Lord. And so here in question 9, we have a description, very compressed, very carefully worded, tight description of what this work of creation entails. What is the work of creation? The work of creation is God's making all things of nothing by the word of his power in the space of 6 days, and all very good.